How can you be the manifestation of heaven on earth? What has God given you that will allow you to give people the opportunity to experience heaven simply because you tapped into the gift that heaven deposited on the inside of you?
Get up, superstar. It's time to shine.
Here's to the fierce queens, the delusional dreamer, the one who thinks she's all that because she marches to the beat of her own drum. She's not afraid to embrace her flaws, and she finds power in using failure as fuel for evolution. Defying the limits imposed by perfectionism and imposter syndrome, she faces her fears with full confidence in God, because the one who put her here also called her to have dominion here. My name is Barbara Moahi, your online bestie and chair executive officer. Join me and women across the world who refuse to let fear keep them from their wildest dreams. This is Boldly Becoming. Hello, superstar. Hope you're having a fabulous Friday so far. I know that at this time of the year, it can feel very, very exhausting to keep going after your goals, particularly if you've been diligent with your plan or tried to be as diligent as possible, but you're not necessarily seeing the results or the fruit that you thought you would see at this point, or that you sought after when you started and set the intention at the beginning of the year to achieve those certain goals. So last night, I went down a complete rabbit hole of just watching Michael Jackson videos. I think it's been a habit that I've had for the past 2 weeks. I don't know why. I mean, when I was younger, I had a very big obsession with Michael Jackson. And now all of a sudden, I feel like that obsession with Michael Jackson has re-emerged. But this time it has taken a different form and a different shape, because I'm not just appreciating his art, but I'm realizing now that I'm much older and recognizing how much work ethic actually went into becoming Michael Jackson. How much just discipline and sacrifice went into him getting to a point where people all over the world were able to concede and recognize him as the greatest of all time and name him the king of pop. And for me, I started to think, sure, I really, when I think of the way that people in the comment section still today in 2024 of TikTok are talking about Michael Jackson, the impact that he had. And some of the songs, I remember I was watching this video last night that was talking about how The Way You Make Me Feel was having its 30th anniversary. And I was like, oh, it was a performance of Michael Jackson's 30th anniversary of The Way You Make Me Feel. And I didn't realize how old Michael Jackson's songs were when I was singing them at the young age that, you know, I was a Michael Jackson fan. Because obviously I was born in 2000 and Michael Jackson passed away, I think either 2009 or 2012, somewhere around that era. So for me at that point to have been a super fan, I remember growing up, and I've shared this on Instagram before, that my mom used to say Channel O was my favorite channel as a 2-year-old, particularly every single time Michael Jackson came on, I would stand on tables and dance. And I remember with my sister and I, when we won the talent competition in primary school around grade 4, one of the songs that we had performed to was Blood on the Dance Floor by Michael Jackson. And fast forward to my birthdays in primary school, my mom bought the very last Michael Jackson performance, which was This Is It, that whole DVD my mom had bought for me. And I just remember watching it over and over and over with my sister. The same with Janet Jackson. I forgot the name of the album, but we had DVDs of Janet Jackson's music videos, dating all the way back from, you know, that song where like there's a train. I'm trying to think of the song now. It's All For You. It's All For You. That whatever album that song is on, that whole DVD set we had. And my sister and I, the same way we would memorize Beyonce songs from beginning to end, we would memorize Michael Jackson songs from beginning to end. We would memorize Janet Jackson songs and dance moves from beginning to end. I remember being so obsessed. And I mean, right now as an adult, I can't dance to save my life because it's a skill that I've left dormant. And beyond dormant, I just... Look, if you've seen my latest Instagram post, you know for a fact that the dancing is definitely not in my bones right now. But I think all in all, I looked back at that and I'm just like, sure, man, to think some of these songs were 30 years old, 40 years old today, and they still carry the same level of impact. I still get the same level of goosebumps because the level that he performed on every single performance, the vocals that he gave on every single performance, it was giving excellence. It was giving someone who was very, like, focused and knew how important it was for art to be excellent. And because Michael Jackson lived, I'd like to believe, lived a life of excellent performances day in and day out, even when he passed away, it wasn't like he passed away and the last thing that we remembered of him was mediocre work. Like, even when he passed away, we felt robbed because it's like Michael Jackson somehow always managed to outdo himself time and time again. And I started to think about myself and where I was at in the past couple of weeks, where I personally was in a position where I had grown tired and I had been exhausted by this idea that I'm putting in all this work, but it kind of feels like I'm not being recognized or I'm not being seen by the people that I need to see me. And when I say the people I need to see me, I'm talking about like brand managers. And because obviously at the end of the day, when you're a content creator, your biggest source of income would come from things like brand collaborations and sponsorships and deals of that sort. Because when you're on YouTube, I mean, TikTok doesn't pay us anything yet. Instagram doesn't pay us anything yet. YouTube does, but it's like you get, what, 30 rand per thousand videos. It's not per thousand views. Sorry, my bad. Per thousand views. So even if you got 10,000 views on a video, it's 300 rand. But you're making 300 rand after a full day of filming and editing and coming up with the idea of what you were putting out on YouTube. So it's almost like the amount of effort that you put into making the YouTube video doesn't equal the output that you get from AdSense. The same would go into like your TikTok content and your Instagram content. And I'm speaking from the point of a content creator because that's what I do. But for you, it could be anything. For you, you could be the first person to go into the office every day, clocking in, and the last one to leave. And still it feels like people around you who are slacking off, people around you who are doing the bare minimum, are the ones getting the job promotion. And when I thought about the story of Michael Jackson, there was an interview I was listening to during my rabbit hole last night where he was speaking about the fact that he had been performing every day since the age of 5. And I mean, granted, there is alleged abuse involved in Michael Jackson's upbringing and childhood and why they performed the way that they did. But the fact that he had performed from the age of 5, he spoke about how he was robbed of his childhood because his childhood was filled with discipline and learning how to perform at excellence. Like, he wasn't given the room to be a child and just fail and be playful and run around, which was a blessing and a curse in the sense that, yes, he was robbed of the niceties of being a child, but then he was blessed with the ability to hone in a skill that nobody else can match just because of the amount of hours that he has put into that work. And so it's very normal for you as a human being to feel unappreciated and to feel discouraged when you get to a point of having poured your heart and soul into something, but not seeing the fruit that you had hoped to. Whether it's a side hustle, whether it's your 9-to-5, whatever it is that it looks like. I want to start off this podcast episode by saying that where you're at is completely valid. But if you stay in that position of despondency, and ask me, I know, because I was there a couple of weeks ago, which we'll get into in a bit. But if you stay in that space of despondency, then there's no room for you to actually be grateful for the opportunities that do lie ahead of you. There's no room for you to take advantage of the fact that you're still alive, which means there's still a chance for you to create excellence. There's still space for you to do something that will completely alter your life or completely alter one other person's life. In one of the Michael Jackson interviews, no, it wasn't Michael Jackson actually, it was a Will Smith interview. He was speaking about the fact that for him, when people look at his career, they see this big wall, right? And I'm paraphrasing, they see this brick wall that is great and large. And so many people set out to say, I want to be as successful as Will Smith. I want to reach that level of impact. I want to reach that level of success. And so I'm going to set out to build this great wall of China of great artistry and great movies. But what Will Smith carries on to say is that it's not a brick wall that he set out to build. Every single day he wakes up with the intention of laying one brick, but making sure that it's the best brick that the world has ever seen being laid. And it reminds me of that book, The Atomic Habits, that speaks about the fact that it's in the 1% improvement every day that you are able to then conquer your big goals. And I think if you're watching this podcast episode or listening to it, you definitely are somebody who is passionate about self-development. You're always working to improve yourself and you're always working to make the world better or make every space that you enter better than it was before you entered into it. And what I think tends to happen to me, and most likely happens to you, let me know if you experience this, is the fact that you know a lot of things and you know the correct things to do. You know the theory behind self-development, but the application isn't really there. It's almost like there's a disconnect between the things that we know and the things that we actually do. But if there's a disconnect between what we know will bring us progress and what we're actually doing, can you see that at the end of the day, I only have myself to blame for a lack of discipline in setting the intention to be 1% better every single day? And when I thought about that whole Will Smith analogy that he made with the brick wall, and he's not setting out to make this big, great career of a wall, he's just setting out to lay one excellent brick every single day, I then started to realize that the reason that I'm discouraged is because I'm not celebrating the little bricks that I'm laying every single day. For me, I've been laying bricks, but I keep looking back at the bricks and thinking to myself, oh, where is my wall? Like, when am I going to have the Great Wall of China? And I don't know how long it took for the Great Wall of China to be built, but I'm pretty sure it didn't happen in a 3-month span. Like, I'm pretty sure it probably even took more than a year to build the Great Wall of China. Let's actually find out. I'm going to Google it right now. Let's find out. Why guess when we can know? It took around 2,500 years to build the Great Wall of China. That's crazy. That's literally insane. It took 2,500 years to build the Great Wall of China. So can you imagine how ridiculous it is that we expect to see an overnight sensation or an overnight turn of events simply because we spent 3 months working towards our goals? And if we're being very honest, we might not have been the most diligent every single day. And so the first thing that I think I took away from this idea of working towards success is that you have to practice gratitude. You have to practice gratitude for the one brick that you were able to lay excellently that day. I think that it's so easy in a world of overnight sensations and virality for us to chase after, you know, Uncle Waffle's prayer or Tyler's prayer or Victoria Monet's prayer. But if you look back at Uncle Waffle's journey, you'll see that she started off, she grew up in Swaziland, left Swaziland at whatever age she did, came to Johannesburg in pursuit of a entertainment career. And then one day when somebody wasn't where they were supposed to be at a certain gig, Waffles was the one who stepped in. Someone took a video and her life changed in that moment. But it was because of the fact that she was prepared in and out of season. And I think for me, what I came to realize when I looked at my life is that the reason why opportunities that would potentially change my life, and I mean, I obviously wouldn't know because I didn't take those opportunities, the reason why those opportunities are able to miss us is because we are busy moping in a season that we should be just working on our skill and staying ready so that we don't have to get ready. Because now what happens is you spend so much time being depressed and despondent. And I'll be very transparent with you in saying something like, for example, when I was eliminated from Miss SA, yo, I feel like I keep making examples from Miss SA. I need to do something new and great so that I can find a new example to give you. But when I came back from Miss SA last year around July, August, I then quit the gym. like, I literally stopped going to the gym because I was just like, listen, I need a break. I have put in years and years and years of just hard work, and I feel like my hard work has gone to waste. I just need a moment to breathe and gather myself, and I just never went back to the gym. And now I find myself in a position where I have like half of my wardrobe in a suitcase because I've come to the executive decision that I need to sell those clothes and I need to get rid of them because those clothes make me feel bad about my body. And obviously when you are not keeping up with your, you know, routine and the things that you used to do when you looked a certain way and you were at your peak and you were at your whatever it is that you want to call it, you digress, not digress, you regress, right? And that's kind of what happened with me. I regressed in my shape, and because that was my most healthiest form, in the sense that I wasn't sluggish all the time, I always had energy, I always was up to wake up at 5 a.m. ready to run, ready to do a whole lot of things that I probably wouldn't be able to pull off now just because I'm so unfit and out of shape. Beyond that, there's also been an aesthetic element where working out, whether you call it vanity or not, gives me a sense of pride when I look at my body, because I'm like, I did that. Like, it took discipline for me to build my body that way. It took discipline for me to look that certain way. And I'm proud to carry my body the way that it is. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I know I am making sense. Right? And now what happens is I put on my clothes and I feel bad because I'm like, oh, just look at that. You're out of shape. But I'm out of shape because I've been betraying myself and doing myself a disservice every day by choosing to be sad and despondent rather than getting up and going for the run, or getting up and going for the walk, or getting up and lifting the weights. And now it's awkward because everywhere that I go, in my bio, it will literally say like model. Like when people introduce me, like, oh, Barbara, the model. But then I'm like, oh my goodness. But my body right now is not giving model. Like, I know if I had to get called for a casting tomorrow, I probably just wouldn't go because I'm out of shape. And like, the clothes are not going to fit me in a way that will allow me to carry out the duties of a model. Because at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, modeling is all about confidence. Confidence in front of people or confidence in front of a camera. And that confidence always stems from within. If my confidence is going to rely on the validation of people around me, then it will fluctuate time and time again. And yes, confidence still can fluctuate when it's based on myself. But when it's based on myself, it's regulated by my ability to trust myself and my ability to produce results that are consistent every single week. And this kind of brings me to the first thought I wanted to share with you, to beg you not to give up on what you are pursuing, is that one, you literally never know who is watching and at what moment you're gonna get called into the front. I think for me, when I took the past month off of social media just to sit down and reclaim my thoughts and really sift through everything that I was going through, because ultimately for me, when I show up on the internet, whether it's on the podcast, whether it's on my TikTok, on my Instagram, I always want to be a breath of fresh air. I always want to be able to put smiles on people's faces or leave them feeling inspired and motivated to just be the best version of themselves that they could possibly be. But I can't do that when I'm filled with negativity, when all that's coming out of my mouth is complaining, because I'm not content with where I'm at in my life. And so I took the time off of social media just to sit down and really listen to my thoughts and kind of cleanse all of that negative energy out of me. And what I came to realize is that you literally never know who is watching. Because on Valentine's Day, I went out with my boyfriend. Our day started off with breakfast, and then middle of the day, we had to take a break because he had commitments that he had to attend to. And then we resumed as soon as he came back. But when I got back home, I remember it was around 12, 1 o'clock. And usually when I get home, my routine is open my laptop, check my emails, then I check my Instagram DMs, respond to comments, that kind of thing. And I kid you not, when I opened up my Instagram DMs, I found, and I'm not going to say his name because I don't think that's the right thing to do. I feel like it's an invasion of privacy. But I remember seeing one of the, I don't want to say goats, but like iconics in the South African entertainment space in my DMs. And I was so confused because I was like, I don't understand, like, is this a scam? Is this person actually, because you know, you always get these fake accounts who will DM you like, Ariana Grande 101 or Beyonce. And it's not Beyonce. It's not Ariana Grande DMing you. It's just some robot account that's trying to scam you of your, you know, details. And I saw this and I was like, is this really the person? And I click on it and there's a whole blue check and I'm going through the post and I'm like, no, this is legit. This is actually the person that my mom grew up listening to, that I grew up seeing in primary school. He was definitely in his cool boy era when I was in primary school. Still is relevant to this day, which is crazy to have that length of longevity in that length of longevity. To have that longevity in the entertainment space from my mom all the way to me until today. And this person basically DM'd me to say, hey, Bubs, think you're really cool. I've got a new show that I'm creating in partnership with this channel, and I'd really love for you to be a presenter on it. I'm like, crazy. So then he went on to explain how they were having castings and there's going to be like a select group of people that are auditioning for this, and he wants me to be part of them. And from that audition process, the channel will then pick two people that aligns with them and their values, and then, you know, so on and so forth. And I was just shook. I was just shook because, first of all, like, I know he doesn't follow me on social media, because if he followed me on social media, I definitely would be aware of this person on my social media. But the fact that he was able to reach out and say, I think you're cool, I think your personality is the best fit for the show, I'd love for you to come and audition, that is crazy. That means that literally, you don't know who is watching you. He literally has watched enough content to know what I'm like and to know what to consistently expect from my personality, my mannerisms, how I speak. And I just thought that was cool. Like, it really was an honor for me to be able to stand in that room and be a part of that audition process, because for me, it was affirmation to say, you're going in the right direction. The correct people are seeing you. All you need to do is go back home and work on refining that skill so that the next time the job is yours. And same day, so he messaged me around 12, 1 p.m. And then at 4 p.m., someone else from the channel then messaged me to say, hey, I'd love to know what are three sentences that describe you as a presenter. And I was like, is this in connection with that other show by that guy? Because he said it was going to be on this channel as well. And she was like, no, it's definitely not. I don't know what that's about. This is a completely different show. And so in my mind, it's like mind blowing that in the same day, I would have two people come to me from the same channel and say, hey, we'd love for you to audition for the show. And then fast forward to yesterday, where I was on Playroom Live. I don't know if you were able to see it because it's gone now. Like, I don't think there's going to be a repeat. I don't know how it works. But I was on Playroom Live yesterday on DSTV, which is crazy because it's just random. Like, it was so random the way that it happened. I literally got a DM one day on Instagram and they were like, hey, I'm a producer from Playroom Live and I think you're really cool. You'd be a great fit for a guest presenter on the show. Please do let us know if you're interested and we can send you the details for you to come through. And I was like, of course I'm interested. Of course I want to come through. And so I send my details. They reach out to me. And yesterday I found myself on the show. And I think just being on the show and interacting with the presenters and seeing the role that I was supposed to play in that show made me realize that I actually don't value myself at the same level that other people value me. And I think that's another thing that I wanted to discuss with you, is the fact that maybe you're taking your gifts for granted. And something that I realized that helped me get out of that space, and this was long before I got to Playroom Live. I think Playroom Live literally was just the cherry on top. But by the time that I got the DM from the celebrity I was telling you about and the other lady from the channel, I got to the realization that I've been taking for granted the fact that at the end of the day, everybody has got different talents and everyone's talents look different, right? My talent is being funny, like just being a personality. That's the gift that God has given me. Other people are able to sing. Other people are able to draw. And I think because for me, I spend time with me and I see all my shortcomings. I see where I fall. I see how far I fall from the standard that I believe I should be at. So it's easy for me to downplay the things that I'm good at. It's easy for me to downplay the things that naturally come to me, because I think that everybody can do it at the same level that I can. And it's simply not true. I remember this week at school on Monday, I was sitting with my friends and we were just talking about this whole idea of like monetization. So we're all studying digital marketing and there are different group projects and things that we're doing. And so we're just having kind of off topic digressing conversation, but it's kind of based on the things that we're learning in class. And they were speaking about how it would be so cool if I did like a content creation masterclass. And I was like, content creation masterclass? I'm not really sure about like doing something like that. I don't know if I would make people pay for me to teach them how to edit videos or for me to teach them how to speak to a camera or do a podcast or anything like that. Like, I don't think I'm at the level where I am the Michael Jackson enough to make people pay for me to teach them. Not me. And I remember them just chatting to me about how I take the fact that editing comes easy to me for granted. Not everybody is able to edit overnight. Like, not everybody can just wake up and edit a video and put it up and everybody receives it well. Not everybody is able to wing a conversation and win friends over as easily as you do. There are people who genuinely struggle with the idea of sitting in front of the camera and relaying their thoughts to the camera. There are people who genuinely struggle with the idea of making friends and speaking to strangers and converting them into people who will become their lifelong champions and cheerleaders. So because that's a skill and that's a gift that you have, Barbara, you're able to put that into a framework and sell it to someone so that they can, you know, benefit from that gift. And I think it really took me by surprise, the amount of things. And again, like I said, being on Playroom Live, excuse me, and then hearing what the content producer had come up with based off of my social media, the questions that they were asking me, the interaction I was having with them. And in my mind, I was like, wait a minute, like, am I confused about who I am? Because the way that they talk about me does not match up with the way that I think of myself. And I think, you know how we always used to see back in like 2012, 2010, in the BBM era, where people would put up quotes, and people still put up quotes on their WhatsApp statuses, but I think it's kind of cringe now. But back then it was popular, where people would put something like, gratitude is a magnet for blessings. Like, I think that's the one thing that I've always seen over and over again. But if I'm being completely honest, gratitude truly is a magnet for blessings, because not only does gratitude put you in a position where you're able to recognize your gifts and you're able to recognize what God has given you, no matter how small or tiny it is, but gratitude also puts you in a position where you realize that time is finite. The amount of opportunity or the window of opportunity will only be open for so long, and so you need to strike the iron while it's hot. And I think what gratitude does is put you in a position where you're like, every single day I will serve God, every single day I will give all that I have to making sure that the people around me experience heaven on earth. I remember there was a sermon, the sermon like shook me and changed my life to some degree, where the pastor was saying, our job as Christians should be to bring heaven on earth. And I think the question that the pastor asked was, how can you be the manifestation of heaven on earth? What has God given you that will allow you to give people the opportunity to experience heaven simply because you tapped into the gift that heaven deposited on the inside of you, which is crazy when you start to think about it. So one journal prompt that I really want to give to you this week is, I want to challenge you to every single day find something that you are grateful for, just one thing that you are grateful for. And I even thought of making this a challenge, like coming up with almost like the 75 hard challenge, but for gratitude, where by the end of those 90 days or 100 days or 75 days or however long we decide to make it, we can commit ourselves to being better people. So A, practice gratitude, but B, work on our talent, work on our skill, no matter how small it is, for 10 minutes every single day. And C, what was C? Oh, commune with God. Because I think when you partner with God, there's absolutely nothing that can stop you. And I remember for me in December, the biggest thing that I remember feeling on my heart is that I need to pause my YouTube content and focus on TikTok. And I kid you not, I focused on TikTok for a month And the opportunities that I'm getting now come from TikTok. So when I told you about that celebrity that reached out to me, I asked after my audition to say, how did you guys find out about me? Because I assumed that a mutual friend, let's call it that, a mutual friend of ours had recommended me to this person. So I wanted to know so that I could come back home and thank the mutual friend for, you know, passing on my social media and so on to this person. And the response I literally got was, no, we saw your TikToks during December, thought you were funny, and went through a rabbit hole of just going through your social media. And that's how you find yourself here today. Same with the Playroom Live. When I spoke to the producer, like, how did you find me? And she was like, you know, that video that you made on TikTok of yourself cooking pots. I wasn't even speaking, guys. I was like literally just fakaring di pizza ko molong. They saw that video, and that video led them to go in a rabbit hole. And then they realized, oh, she has personality. Oh my goodness, she'd be a great addition to our show. Let's call her on. So again, number one, you never know who's watching, so keep on going. But number two, practice gratitude, because gratitude will create diligence, and diligence will create the results and rewards that you want to see. And then the very last thing that I wanted to share with you is that you have to take a break. You absolutely have to take a break. I think something that Michael Jackson said as well in his, because I just went on YouTube and then I was like, advice from Michael Jackson. And in one of the videos, one of the million videos I watched, I remember Michael Jackson speaking about the fact that he doesn't read too much into what the world is saying and what's going on in the news and what's going on. I mean, obviously he was informed about what's happening in the world around him, because he then went on to speak about politics and wars and a whole lot of things and how children need to be protected and gun violence in schools and stuff. But at the beginning of it, he just spoke about the importance of isolation and the importance of being able to break away as a creative, or break away as somebody who is looking to create something that the world has never seen before, so that you can get in tune with, I think he called it the divine, something like that. Like, you can get in tune with your divine power and be able to draw inspiration from that. Because when you create out of the opinions of other people, then what you create will probably be something that has been seen before, because you're creating something that a mass amount of people can agree on. But if you create something from the depths of your heart and you commit to be excellent about that thing, then what you come to realize is that you've actually birthed a new creation. You've birthed something new. And he spoke about, I actually heard this as well. Guys, you know, actually I've been seeing a lot of Michael Jackson unknowingly, but on 702 this week, because my mom plays 702 every single morning, early in the morning, we have Bongani Pingwa just screaming in our house. And they played a short clip of Michael Jackson's from Billie Jean, the creation of Billie Jean. And he says he was driving in his car, and when he wrote Billie Jean, it wasn't with the intention of that Great Wall of China success. It wasn't with the intention of creating the best song that the world has ever seen. I'm gonna top everything I've ever done. He literally said, when I created Billie Jean, the intention I had set out, I literally said to myself in the car that I want to create a song with an insane bass line. Like, that was his goal, to create a song with an insane bass line. And then he continues to say, then I let it go. And only 7 days later did he come up with the full song for Billie Jean. But for me, what that reaffirmed for me was the idea that don't wait for permission to break away. No one is going to give you that permission, because one thing about the culture that we live in right now is that we idolize hustle culture. We idolize the idea of grinding hard and waking up every day and being the person who's just there all the time doing the most and whatever. But as a child of God, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, we operate under the system of grace. And what grace means is that God is able to fill in the gaps. What grace means is that if you take the time to honor God, then everything else in your life will fall into place. And there was another quote that I had heard. Yo, I've listened to so many Michael Jackson like interviews over my lifetime, that I remember, I don't think it was Michael Jackson himself, but there was someone else who was speaking about Michael Jackson and said, whenever Michael Jackson had an idea of a song or an idea of something creative to do, he would get up and execute it immediately. Again, going back to this idea of gratitude and being grateful for the opportunity that has been given to you and seizing it as soon as possible. But Michael Jackson would get up and do it immediately, because he would say something like, if I don't do it, then God is going to give that idea to Prince. Which is funny when you think about it. But for me, it resonated so deeply because I cannot tell you how many podcast episodes I have had the idea to execute where, like, in the middle of the night or whenever, I would have an idea to do a podcast episode and that script is burning in my chest. And I just think to myself, oh, I'll do it tomorrow morning. And then tomorrow morning I wake up and something happens and I don't feel like doing it. And there's a whole lot of like reasons why I can't execute it. And by the time I actually get around to wanting to sit down to do the podcast episode, then I find, you know, the podcast has been executed by like a Guguletu Nyanzumba, or I listen to my sister's podcast episode. And there goes the idea that I had in my head. And it's not to say that there can't be many versions of the same thing, because nothing is new on the earth, right? I think there's a saying that goes on in the art industry that the wheel is never reinvented. It's always just improved. So there's no topic that has never been discussed. There's nothing that has never been looked at in a different angle or whatever. It's all there already. You just have to refine it and improve it. So it's not to negate the fact that I could have just done the podcast episode anyway. But then you see how, yo, she literally said everything I was going to say bar for bar. And now her video's got 100,000 views. And then you realize, oh my goodness, that could have been me. But it's not me. Why? Because I took for granted the opportunity that God had given me in that moment. And so while it's important for you to break away and take breaks and rest so that you can really realign and recalibrate your thoughts with your own, just because I think for us in the social media age, it's very easy for you to confuse your thoughts with thoughts of strangers that you've seen over and over and over again on social media. And so the time that I took away, I literally was asking myself questions like, what is it that I want? What is my definition of success? What is it that I'm pursuing at the end of the day? So that I'm able to reframe my thoughts and reframe my idea of what's causing me to be despondent. Because what I came to realize is I was upset, or not upset, but I was kind of discouraged by the fact that I had put in so much work. And just to give you a transparent example, I had done this review of the Maybelline skin tint in December, right? During my TikTok thing that I was telling you about, where I felt like for that month God was saying just focus on TikTok, don't focus on all this other stuff. And the video that I had done, very simple video, I did it on the floor of this very room that we're sitting in. I did it spontaneously, I didn't script it, it was just vibes. And that video today is on something like 415,000 views on TikTok. It literally blew up overnight, which was crazy to me, right? But as much as the video has over 400,000 views and there's so many people in the comment section thanking me for putting them onto the Maybelline skin tint, because after that video, I went on to do multiple videos on Instagram as well of this thing and how you can do it for your everyday makeup and natural makeup and all the stuff. Believe it or not, in January, then brand managers started approaching influencers to do and promote that Maybelline skin tint. But guess what? Everyone around me got picked. And when I say around me, I mean my mutual influencer friends. They literally, all of them got picked to do the Maybelline skin tint campaign. But I didn't get picked to do the Maybelline skin tint campaign. And I think Maybelline was the first brand that I saw and I was like, oh, kind of heartbroken, disappointed. But then it went on and brand after brand, I just felt like I was being overlooked and rejected and not seen for all the hard work and effort that I've been putting in, because some of the brands that were overlooking me, quote unquote, were brands that I passionately and genuinely advocate for every single day. And people know that I genuinely enjoy these brands. Like KFC went on to do this insane thing. And you know better than anyone, if you are watching this on YouTube and you've been on my Instagram, that I go to KFC every week without fail. Every single week I'm at KFC. And so things like that. And I kind of got to a point where I had this frustration built up because I was like, sure, everything I'm doing is just wasted. I'm not seen. I'm not valued. and everybody's getting picked except me. How am I going to make a career out of this? I've already put my life on the line. Like, this needs to work out. How is it going to work out? And during my time of taking a break away, practicing gratitude and connecting with God, I then came to the conclusion that actually my eyes were just set on the wrong thing. First of all, I was idolizing this idea of work, and I was idolizing brands as a whole, because my mindset and everything around my life revolved around obtaining these brand deals, to the point where you can even see that my Instagram started to look kind of clinical, because I was trying to fit a certain aesthetic so that brands would be, you know, more attracted to me or whatever. And in doing that, I kind of lost my authenticity. And then I felt like I couldn't completely be myself on Instagram, but I can completely be myself on TikTok. But me not being myself on Instagram makes me want to run away from Instagram. But Instagram is how I speak to most of you, because on TikTok, let's just be honest, the DM features are not the best, right? And so in my time away, to take a break and reframe my thoughts and realign with who I am, my definition of success and failure and so on and so forth, I came to the realization that the whole intention behind my social media, the whole intention behind, first of all, my podcast, is so that I can learn to be a better communicator, to articulate myself better, and to articulate my thoughts better. That's the main purpose of my podcast, for myself. And then the secondary purpose of my podcast, obviously, is to make sure that even when I am in this pursuit of becoming a better communicator and more articulate in expressing my thoughts, that I would also be offering value, that with everything that I've learned and with everything that I am taking away from my life and the experiences that I have and the things I learn in the industry and the things I learn from trying to pursue my dreams and goals, that I would be able to pass on some of my mistakes and some of my takeaways to the next person, so that she or he or they don't have to go through what I went through to get to where I need to be. So if it takes me 25 years to reach my goals, my goal with this podcast is that the next person, it would take them 10 years to reach their goal, simply because they learned from my mistakes and they didn't have to repeat them. And then with Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, the biggest goal behind those platforms is for me to work on my skill as a presenter, right? For me to be able to convey a message and keep someone entertained from beginning to the end of my presentation. That's all that is about. But with Instagram and TikTok in particular, it's also for me to be able to reach the correct people in the correct spaces who would be able to put me in the rooms that I need to be in order for me to become, to have the career that I one day aspire to have. And so with that reflection and that realization that when I left engineering and set out to do digital marketing and go full force into this, the end goal was for me to be a seasoned TV presenter and a seasoned radio presenter and to be a media personality that's able to host shows and do a whole lot of incredible things just by using my ability to articulate myself and communicate and keep an audience engaged and captivated. And so when you look at that big end goal in the bigger scheme of things, brand deals and all this influencer drama and politics in the middle of it all shouldn't be of any value to, not it shouldn't be of any value to me, but it shouldn't make me as despondent as it did, because those things are not my goal. Those things are byproducts. The followers are byproducts of you putting out work consistently. The likes are byproducts of you getting better at your craft and people engaging with the work that you're putting out. So it's not to say that you completely neglect excellence so you don't care about the numbers and you don't care about the analytics. The analytics are great because they show you the room for improvement, but the analytics are not what make or break me, because the analytics just give me the opportunity to do better. But my end goal as Barbara is to get better every single time I put out content. So having that moment to just breathe and realign and realize, no, Barbara, you don't want to be the best influencer in the country. You want to be the best personality in the country, completely shifted things and gave me an entirely new perspective so that I could come back, regroup and get back to creating. So I really hope that in the next couple of weeks, you get your steam back up and you're able to fight again for the things that you're passionate about, that you find the will to get up every day and create, get up every day and practice that skill. And let me know, do you want us to do a challenge together? I think a challenge, to be very honest, and this is a very big moment of honesty for me. The only reason I wouldn't want to do a challenge is because literally it would mean I'm held accountable to practicing every day and getting better every day because there is a group of people that I'm working with. But I also realize that, you know what? Maybe that's what I need. Maybe I need to fail in front of a group of people in order for me to take myself seriously. Like maybe I need to do like a 75 hard challenge. But for gratitude and content creation and, or not content creation as such, whatever your talent is. So if you're good at singing, if I'm good at creating content, if the next person is good at gardening, making a challenge that would be able to apply to all of us so we can practice gratitude, but also practice the skills and gifts that God has given us and get better at it. And if I miss a day, then I miss a day in front of 14,000 people and I have to get back up and work. And maybe the thought of failing in front of 14,000 people who are watching me will be good enough for me to get up and do the work, because wow. Wow, it's definitely not easy. Otherwise, I hope that you had a good time on the podcast today. I hope that you could take something away from today's conversation. I know it was very fast and I spoke for a long time, so feel free to take what you need to take and leave what you need to leave. Let us know in the comment section what stood out for you, because for me, these are also learning moments. A lot of the times when I'm having this conversation with you, I am processing my thoughts as well. Like sometimes new thoughts beyond the ones that I brainstormed before the episode come to me, and I miss out on hearing it, and I only hear it again when I'm editing, but then I miss other gems because I was so focused on something else during my edit. So do let me know in the comment section. I'd love to learn from you as well. What are your takes on success, discipline, and what it takes to really be world class? Because I want to be world class, but I don't want to be world class alone. I want to be world class with you.